This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com. I'll tell you what, ever since I was a kid, I've sort of had this fascination with globes. And I don't know why. In fact, when I was a kid, like, the globe was like my best friend. Me and the globe, we just hung out a lot. Because see, there was something fascinating about this giant world that we live in. In fact, growing up, my family, they had this globe, and I was always just mesmerized by it. In fact, I'd sit on the floor. I'd take the globe, and I'd sit on the floor, and I would spin it around like that. Like, just keep spinning it and spinning it. And then I would, like, put my finger on it, and wherever it stopped was where I was going to go visit at that very moment. Some of you know you played that too, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So here's the thing. Like, by the time I was 10 years old, I had traveled all over the world. Oh, yeah. I had, like, hung out in the rainforests of South America several times. I had hung out in, like, the tribes in the middle of Africa. It was amazing. And those people are really nice, by the way. And I mean, I remember making snow angels at the North Pole. Yeah, it was great. I'd been all over the place, at least in my imagination. Because there was something intriguing about this giant world that we live in. I was fascinated by it. In fact, I'll never forget, my dad subscribed to National Geographic. And my favorite thing in the world was when National Geographic would show up in the mailbox, and you guys remember it being like that brown wrapper? You know, and it'd slide. And I remember I would run out. I'd run inside. I would grab the National Geographic and just rip that puppy right off. And I would open it up and I'd go for the map that was on the inside. You remember the maps? Yeah, only like every 8 issues had them. So I got angry when there wasn't a map. But when there was a map, I would grab that map. I would open it up as quick as I could. I'd spread it out on the floor and I would just stare at it. And my dad always got agitated about that because as well as I could, you know, I was pretty good at unfolding the maps, but I could never get them to fold back upright. And so I would just shove them in the National Geographic, you know what I'm saying, and give it back to him, and it'd be like as thick as a phone book. Like, what is this, you know? Well, not much has changed. I still can't fold maps. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, I still find myself very, very intrigued by this great big world that we live in. And what's even better now is the technology that we have. I mean, is a heck of a lot better than what we had when I was a kid. Like, they have this program called Google Earth. Have you guys ever seen this program? Oh, it's amazing. It lets you travel, lets you fly all through, I mean, from one place to another. It's an amazing program. And it's kind of like, it's like a map on like Starbucks or something. Like, it's a map on steroids, you know? It's an amazing thing. But the world, man, is a phenomenal place, isn't it? In fact, just recently, I think it's been estimated that there are right around 6.7 billion people on this earth right now, which is amazing. And sort of just to sort of put that into perspective for you, I think right here in America or in the United States, there are about 300 million people, which still seems like a huge number, doesn't it? Like, once you get past that 300 million mark, it's big, right? But I mean, 300 million, 6.7 billion. I mean, those are a lot of numbers to fathom. And this world, this earth is huge. It's big. Speaking of big, we are in a series entitled Big, of course. And we've been spending the last couple of weeks talking about some pretty big things, haven't we? We've been talking a lot about this mission that we're on in our life, this mission of God that he's invited us to be a part of. It's a mission that is so much bigger than you, so much bigger than me, that we get to be a part of. And I'll just say, if you've missed the last couple of weeks, we will give you the CDs. If you want to stop by the info booth afterwards, we'll make sure we get those into your hands. You can also download them on our website, but we want to get those into your hands because we've been talking about some really big stuff. And we want you to get that. Well, today I want to go a little bit further into this whole mission. I want to go more into this mission that we're called to be on as followers of Jesus, and specifically as a church community. What does it look like for us? Because I think anytime you start talking about mission, of course, you always start thinking, okay, well, what does that look like for me? I mean, what does it look like for me as a husband? What does it look like for me as, you know, maybe whatever your situation is, maybe a newly married couple, maybe you're a couple that's getting ready to retire, maybe you're a single person. I mean, what does it look like to engage in the mission. And then, of course, I think the other question we start asking is, okay, to what degree am I responsible for taking that mission out into this world? To what degree? Well, Jesus actually gave us the answer to that. It's actually pretty black and white. I want to show it to you. It's in Mark chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, grab those real quick. But let's go to Mark chapter 15. Jesus had just sort of set the scene for you here. Jesus had just given his life for the world. He had just died on the cross. And the Bible says that he was buried. And 3 days later, we're told that Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life. And that's where Mark chapter 16, verse 9 picks up. It says this: after Jesus rose from the dead, early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. Verse 11, but when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they didn't believe her. Verse 12, afterward, he appeared in a different form to 2 of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Verse 14, still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he'd been raised from the dead. And then this is the line that I really want you to see here, okay? Look at this. Verse 15, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Go into all the world and preach. And that basically just means proclaim. Share with others the good news. Now, just for a moment, I mean, put yourself in these guys' shoes, okay? Think about this. I mean, you've just witnessed, okay, an absolutely horrible, unjustified death of someone that you love more than anything or anyone in this entire world. You've just watched Jesus die. And you know Jesus. And you know what his life is about. And you've just watched him get crucified. And so, I mean, you're just like, I mean, you're jacked up because of that. You are full of grief. You got pain. You're angry. And suddenly, guess who shows up? The dead guy. Oh, yes. I mean, and not only that, but you're eating dinner. And he shows up. And Jesus just walks in. Hey, guys, what's up? Now, all I have to say is that I promise you that someone had to have started choking on their TV dinner at that very moment. And you know it was TV dinners because it was a bunch of guys, right? You know, they were hammering down the TV dinners. Anyway, and then if that's not enough, okay, so they're like, whoa. All of a sudden, then Jesus says, now, by the way, go into all the world and tell everyone about this. And you know, they're probably sitting there going, the whole world, are you kidding me? How are we supposed to do this? Now see, for us today, we have globes, we have Google Earth, we got all these, they didn't have that stuff. So you think the world feels big to you and overwhelming to you? Imagine what it must have felt like for these guys. And here's the thing, okay, not only did I'm sure did this feel overwhelming to them, but I don't know about you, but sometimes for myself, I feel overwhelmed by this idea of taking this message into the whole world. I feel overwhelmed by it myself. I mean, it's overwhelming. I mean, look, I'm just trying to figure out how to be a good dad to my daughters, you know? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how to love some of my neighbors that are hard to love sometimes. And yet I'm supposed to go into all the world and share this message of God's love? And then on top of that, you know, you start hearing about what's going on in the world. You start hearing about some of the atrocities. You start hearing about some of the, I mean, these painful things that are happening everywhere. Things like the AIDS epidemic in Africa. I mean, you start hearing about how over 17 million Africans have died from AIDS. And you start hearing about how just right now at this very moment, there are 25 million people who are affected with HIV. And of which 1.9 million of those are children. I mean, you start hearing things like that. You start hearing about the young women and the girls who are being sold into the sex slave industry in places like Bangkok and other places in Asia and around the world. And man, I'll tell you what, it's just like you realize there is a great need out there for God's mission to be taking place. I mean, there's hurt and there's pain, and there's people need to experience. And so you hear all that. And yet, you know, here's the thing, man, I don't know about you, But the world and all these problems and everything you start hearing about after a while can just start feeling so overwhelming that it's almost easier to just not even think about it. You know what I'm saying? And instead, you know, I'd rather just be concerned with me. I'd rather just be concerned with which is my family. And as long as my neighborhood is safe, as long as my home is secure, okay, you know, I'm okay. I mean, it's true, isn't it? I mean, probably most of you, we're all like that. I mean, and yet I know what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says. And we know that Jesus said that we're supposed to go and we're supposed to care about people in this world. We're supposed to go and make a difference. And I know that one day, when I stand before God, when I stand before my Creator, and I'm asked how well that I've accomplished this mission in this earth, I have a feeling that's saying, well, God, you know, I would have liked to have done it, but it was just too overwhelming. I didn't want to think about it because it just didn't make me feel very good. I have a feeling that will not be the answer that God is looking for. And even worse than that, I mean, I think if we're really honest about it, there's times that if we really, really are honest with ourselves, we find out and we realize that sometimes we just don't care like we should. And I think that's the biggest problem. And it's not because we don't want to care. It's not because, I mean, I don't think it's because we don't think that these things are important. I mean, I think that when we hear things like this, we know it's important. We know that it's something God says we need to do. But for whatever reason, most of us end up gravitating towards ourselves and gravitating towards our concerns more than we gravitate towards the needs of others. And the fact is, you don't gravitate towards the needs of anybody else but your own, right? I mean, how often do you like struggle to like be concerned with yourself? I mean, think about that, you know? Like, I don't ever, like, wake up and go, man, I really wish I was more concerned about Scott. No, it's there, man. But when it comes to being concerned about other people, man, there's something intentional that has to happen. So what can be done about it? I mean, how can I live a life that is truly centered on engaging in God's mission, not just where I live, but even around this world? How can I do it? I mean, how do I make sure that I understand that God's mission is not something that just a handful of people who have special calling and went to Bible college or seminary, that those are the ones who are called? I mean, how do I get to a place where I am driven every day of my life with the belief that following Jesus is all about joining the greatest mission in the world and doing everything I can to help it contribute towards it? How do I get to that place? Well, see, here's the good news. Jesus knows his creation, and Jesus knew that we would be overwhelmed by this. He knew that you'd be sitting here today, that I'd be sitting here, and that we would be reading the scriptures where Jesus says, go into all the world. He knew that we would read that and go, this feels overwhelming. And so he gave us some promises. He gave us some answers. He went out of his way to tell us how he was going to help us do this. Let me show it to you. Acts chapter 1. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down because these are things I'd like us to take home with us today. But Acts chapter 1. Now, Acts is an interesting book in the Bible, and specifically this chapter is a very significant section of scripture. It's significant because it contains the last words of Jesus here on earth. And I don't know about you, but like, I want to hear someone's last words. Like, you know how when you're watching a movie, there's nothing worse than where there's that scene where, like, someone gets shot or something, or someone's getting ready to die, and they're, like, getting ready to utter those last words, and they never make them out? And you're like, oh, I want to know what he was going to say, you know? Well, Jesus shared his last words before he departed up into heaven. And I want you to listen, and I want to show you this. Jesus had died. He'd been resurrected from the dead. He's literally getting ready to hop the express train right up to heaven, okay? And right before he goes, he pulls a bunch of his followers together, and he says, okay, guys, listen to this. His last words to his followers, which are important words, Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, for those of us who are Christians, those of us who've been around church for very long in our lives, we know this passage, don't we? Oh, yes, it's been on the banners in the churches at the missions banquets. It's been on the signs. We've seen it, and I think that's part of the problem. See, here's the thing. We know it so well that we read it without even thinking about what Jesus is saying here. And so I want to read it again. And this time, I want to ask you to read it out loud with me. And I'm going to ask you, if you already know the scripture, I want you to read this as though it's the first time that you've ever read these words before. Can we do that? All right, let's read them together. Acts 1:8, ready? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, we read this a lot of times, and we don't realize how strategic Jesus was with the way that he said these words. You know, this scene of Jesus, I you just imagine like sort of like his last marching orders to his people. It sort of reminds me of a scene from history. It was right around 300 B.C., and Alexander the Great was marching across with his army across Asia Minor. And of course, up to that time, Alexander the Great was the leader of the greatest army ever assembled in all of history. So great, in fact, that they had conquered every enemy that they had, and in the entire known world. And they were powerful. But here's the thing: as powerful as they were, just like every great army, there are times of uncertainty. And it's recorded that when Alexander the Great and his army reached the great Himalayan mountains, that their advance scout, he was the guy that would go and he would check everything out. He'd come back and help them put their strategy together. And anyway, he went out. When they reached the Himalayan mountains, he came back to Alexander with just great concern and just dismay in his voice. And he said these words to him: "Sir, as best as I can tell, we have marched off the map. We should now go back to what we know." Think about that. I mean, they had literally marched off of the known map of the world. But of course, Alexander the Great wasn't called the Great for no reason, right? He was determined to conquer the entire world, known and unknown. And so it was said that when he listened to this report, that he replied with these words, that he said, "Look, mediocre armies always stay within the known territory. It is the great army that will march off the map." And in a way, this is exactly what I think Jesus was saying right here in his last words when he pulled his followers together. He said, "Listen, guys, we will not stay in the known territory. We will march off the map." And see, that's the very invitation that God gives us, is to march off the map, to break out of our comfort zones, and to get to a place in our life where we're not limited by just what we know or just what we're comfortable with. God is inviting us to march off the map and make a difference in this world. And yet it still feels overwhelming, which is why I think these words that Jesus said are so powerful. And I'm sure that this part of the scripture, let's go there, Acts 1:8, where he says these words: "You will receive" what? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." You will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, this is why I believe that one of the most important elements of being a follower of Christ is allowing God's Spirit to guide us and lead us in our everyday lives. I mean, that's what it means to be Spirit-led. Being Spirit-led is about being people who listen to what God's Spirit says and people who are willing to step out and obey. That's being Spirit-led. As you see, when it comes to the mission that we're all a part of here, this mission of God, man, it means that we need to be the kind of people who actively listen and watch for opportunities that God's Spirit brings into our lives as we engage in this mission. I mean, it means being ready, being prepared. You know, I think it was last weekend was the Chicago Marathon. Is that right? Was it last weekend? We got some people in our church who were at that. Were some of you there? Awesome. Look at that crowd. That's amazing. Look at that. All across the room. Hands going up. Anyway, but you know, we got a. There were some in first service, so anyway. anyway, I was thinking about this whole thing of being Spirit led and what that means and being ready. And I was just thinking about how at the starting line, how there is the runners who are engaging in the race. They are ready. They are prepared. Man, they are positioned. They're not like me when I used to play soccer. When I used to play soccer, okay, I have ADD, so it was like, you know, I'm standing there, and I'm like, "Oh, look, a bird," and the ball would just fly past me, you know. And of course, you know, we didn't know what ADD was back then, so I had nothing to blame it on, except for the bird. But anyway, but I mean, I think that's what it means to be Spirit-led, is to be someone who's focused, someone who has that posture of saying, "Okay, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I'm not distracted." and I'm focused and I'm ready to go for it. And I'm going to listen to what God's Spirit might say to me. I'm going to be open to the challenges and to the dares of God. Now look at this next part of the verse. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Look, and you will be my what? Witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. And we get excited about that part, don't we? Yes, I'm a witness. It's pretty deep, though. You may not know this. The word witness, we'll see how excited you are after I say this. The word witness is the Greek word martyrios. Yes, I'm biblical. I went to Bible college, and I did not learn that word there. I learned it in my computer 3 days ago. Anyway, the word martyrios is the same word for martyr. Oh. So see, in a way, like Jesus was saying, look, I am going to empower you. My Spirit is going to empower you in a way that will drive you to give your life to this mission. And Jesus was saying, look, this cause, this mission that you're going to be on is going to be one that you're going to be so empowered with that you'd be willing to trade everything you have in life to be a part of it. In other words, it is going to require everything. And you know what? Sometimes, and I tell you, following God is risky. There are times, and you know, I mean, it's happened over and over again in history, and even now to this day, that people do have to give their lives physically. More than likely, most of us here probably won't ever have to do that. But I just tell you, when you live this life with this realization that, you know what, I'm willing, God, to live my life, and whatever it costs, whatever it will require of me to fully engage in your mission, I'm willing to do that. So, man, it's about risk. You know, the truth is, risk is anything new for us. You risk way more than you realize you risk. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Let's take a quick survey here this morning. Okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you plan on driving home today? Would you just raise your hand? How many of you? Oh, yeah, a lot of you. Did you know that there one out of 75 people who drive get into an automobile accident? Yes, risk. How many of you are going to go use the restroom today? Oh, four of you. That's awesome. I think some of you might need to go to the doctor or something. How many of you are going to go to the restroom today? Not during my sermon, but you're going to go? Okay. Did you know that every year there are over 270,000 injuries in bathrooms? And that's just here in this church alone. So be careful. Okay, how about this? How about this? How many single women do we have here? Raise your hands, single ladies. No, raise it, raise it. Come on. Wave in the air like you just don't care. Show us. Single ladies. Okay, how many single men do we have here? Come on, single guys. Okay, single ladies, have you ever thought about asking any of these single guys out? Well, let me just say to you, that would not be risky. Because there's a 71% chance that they're going to say yes, just like that. That's right. Guys are easy, aren't we? Yeah. Risk, it's a part of life. But then, of course, that leads a question I think would be good to ask ourselves this today with this whole risk and mission. When was the last time that you took a risk for God? When was the last time that you followed Jesus so closely that it was scary? I'm telling you, these are the kinds of people I believe God is looking for to do something big in this earth. And I'll tell you, when I look out across this room, I see several of you who I know have taken big risks for God. I think Matt and Jess Sinnott, I don't think they're in here today, but Matt and Jess, Matt plays our drums. I look at them, they're a couple who are consistently stepping out of their comfort zones, and they're leading people on missions trips around this world. I mean, that is something that, man, it takes guts. It takes guts to get out of your comfort zone and be willing to step out and lead. And to do that, I look at those, some of you who are involved here in this church and ministries, and you said, I want to be a small group leader, or I want to lead small groups for our children. I mean, those are steps of faith. There's risk involved there because you're breaking out of your comfort zone. And here's what I think is happening. God is turning this into a church full of people who aren't afraid to take risk. And I have to believe that if you have a church full of people who aren't afraid to take risks and who are listening to the Spirit of God on a regular basis, we're going to do something big. I really have to believe that. That's my prayer, is that God would make us a church that's not afraid to take risks. Let's keep going. Acts chapter 1, look at this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love this because Jesus starts them right where they're at. And he says, okay, you will take the mission to people right here in Jerusalem, your own hometown. And then you'll go out to Judea and then even a little bit farther out to Samaria. And then you're just going to keep going and you're going to take this all the way around the world. And so I would imagine that if it were us, if it was 2006, Jesus might have said something like this to us. Okay, guys, look, here's the plan, okay? Go to all the people around you in your life. Go to your neighbors, your friends, your family members. Invite them to become a part of this great mission of God. Go to the people in your sphere of influence. That is your Jerusalem. And then Jesus would say, now, I want you to go a little bit farther out. I want you to start taking it to other people like you, maybe people you don't quite know, but acquaintances in your life, maybe like the girl that cuts your hair, or the guy, the barista at Starbucks that you see all the time, the people in your life that you run across, maybe that coworker that you see. You guys are all grinning when I said Starbucks. Stop that. You know I have a problem, don't you? Anyway. But I mean, it's the people that you cross paths with regularly, those casual acquaintances. I mean, Jesus is saying, look, that is your Judea, your Judea. And then he says, keep going. He goes, there's Samaria. What's Samaria for us? Well, look, Samaria is when we start breaking out of our comfort zones and we start reaching out to people who are nothing like us. And we start reaching out to people who are in need. We start reaching out to the poor in our community. And then he dares us, keep going, all the way to the ends of the earth, sharing my mission. And here's what you need to know. Not only has God given you his Spirit to empower you, but I'm going to tell you, if you've made this your home church, if this is your church community, he has planted you in a church that is committed to helping you carry out this mission in your life. You know, one of the words that you've heard me say quite a bit lately is the word glocal. Would you say that word with me? Glocal. I know what you're thinking. Is there an error there? Did he spell that wrong? No, it's the right word. Part of the reason I love this word glocal is because I think it really describes the type of church that I believe God wants us to be. And in fact, I believe every church. God wants every church to be a glocally minded church. You know, one that understands that we are first and foremost a mission. When you join the Orchard, you're not joining a church. You're first and foremost joining a mission. And a group of people that understand that man, we've got to focus right here locally in our community, but that focus also goes way beyond around this world. And so our vision and our dream is that we would become a church full of people who see beyond their own backyards. And that we would become people who are actively involved in serving locally with outreach while at the same time extending our arms around the world and making the difference in people's lives that we will probably never meet until, I guess, when we one day in heaven. And my prayer is that we would become people who understand that actions speak louder than words, who are willing to serve and who are willing to give and do whatever it takes to spread this mission around the world. And see, part of the reason I think this is so important is because I believe there's no better way to spread the message of God's love than through our actions. You know that? I really believe that. Our actions. Yeah, but Scott, are you saying that we should never talk about the mission? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that I'm convinced that we as followers of Christ, that the Christian community worldwide would probably make much more of an impact in this world if we would spend our time focused on acting and being like Jesus more than we just like to talk and say things about Jesus. I really believe that because the fact is, you know this, I know this, actions speak louder than words. And the church has become great with talking about God, talking about Jesus. What we haven't worldwide and even nationwide haven't done a great job of it is actually being like Jesus and taking our words and turning them into actions and serving and reaching out. That's where I think we've missed it. I think we do such a better job. And that's why I believe Jesus made such an impact in this world. Jesus wasn't just walking around talking. Jesus was walking around doing. Jesus was walking around. And when he did it, people listened. Because here's the thing, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you can say and you can speak all you want, but if people don't believe you care for them, they will not listen to a word you have to say. So as a missional church, we're committed to helping you fulfill God's mission. We're committed to helping you carry that mission out to the people around you in your life, your Jerusalem. We're committed to helping you carry it out to the people like you, your Judea. And to the people not like you, people, the hurting, the poor, the needy, right here in our community. And then, of course, even beyond and around the world. That's the vision of where we're headed as a church. That's our passion. That's our heartbeat. There are three things that I want to leave you with today, three words. And I want you to write these down because these are, I'll tell you what, if these could become a part of our lives, I think it would really change us. The first thing that we're committed to helping you become in your life, one of the things we're committed to doing is helping you to be aware. Would you say that word, aware, with me? Come on, ready? Aware. Because see, that's part of the problem for a lot of us. We just aren't aware, are we? No, I mean, I'll tell you, for me, I'll tell you what, I have found that I have to be really intentional about staying aware of the needs in our community and around our world. And so a big part of what we want to do is to help you be aware of what's going on around this world. What are the needs? What are the problems? Now, let me just say, you got to understand that one of the things we want to do is we want this to become a part of our culture. We want this to become a part of our DNA. And anytime you do that, it takes time. And I know there are some of you, you are itching and you are scratching to get going with this stuff. And I would just ask you, be patient, because it takes time. And we're going to give you opportunities. But you're going to find that, man, as much as we're committed to doing this, we're committed to doing it well. We're committed to doing it in a way that will really make the impact we believe God wants us to make. And so we're excited about this vision. We're committed to helping you be aware. But here's the thing. Being aware also requires that you in your life begin to be intentional about being aware. Don't just rely on the church to make you aware. Take the opportunities, take time in your life. Be intentional. Read the newspaper. Don't do what we like to do. We like to skim past the world section. I get to sports. I get to the life section. I got to get my celebrity news, you know? Nah. Oh, yeah, I know you got People magazine stacked up in your kitchen right now, don't you? Yeah. Oh, see? Maybe we need to have a time of prayer. Anyway, watch the news. Pay attention to what's going on in the world. Go online. There's tons of websites out there that'll help you be aware of what's going on around this world. So that's one thing we want to do, is we want to help you become aware. Because the more aware that you become, the more agitated your heart will become. And so that's the second word I want you to write down, is agitated. Here's the thing about having an agitated heart. We don't like it, do we? We don't like having an agitated heart, do we? So here's what happens. Most of the time, when our hearts start feeling agitated, what do? Well, we shut the channel off that we're watching that's making us feel agitated. We shut the newspaper that we're reading. We stop listening to the stories because they make us feel uncomfortable. We run and we hide. We turn the page because no one likes the feeling of being agitated. Yet, I have to believe that part of following Jesus is not just about celebrating the victories and the joys in people's lives, but it's also about having sensitive hearts to the pain and to the suffering that's going on around this world. That's part of following Jesus as well. So we need to allow our hearts to become agitated by the hurt and the pain that's going on right here in Aurora, right here in our local community, and then even beyond other places in the world. And so the second thing we're committed to is we're committed to agitating you. Yes, we are. We're committed to agitating you. And loosen up, guys. Seriously. All right. You guys got too much sleep. You got an extra hour. Is that what it is? Anyway. Anyway, we're committed to talking about the needs. We're committed to helping you get your heart become agitated. And the reason this is so important is because the more agitated your heart becomes, the likelier you are going to be to step out and take action. So would you write that third word down, action, today? Action, so important. Because here's the thing. You can become aware, you can become agitated, but if you don't take action, none of it matters. And so we want to be people who don't just talk about it. We don't want to be people who just make you aware of it. We want to be people who actually take action. And see, here's how action happens. Real simply, action happens when you see a problem or when you see a need and you stop and you pause and you say, God, do you want me to help meet that need? God, is there something I can do in my life to help bring relief to that person who is suffering? Have you ever in your life been in a situation where, like, someone is suffering and you're, like, afraid to find out more about it because you're afraid God might have you get involved and do something? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are grinning right now. You're like, oh, God, please. See, that's what I want to ask God to help us move away from being those kind of people, to be people who are proactively asking God, Lord, here's a need that I'm aware of. Would you like me to be involved? Is there something you would want me to do? I mean, imagine if every one of us in this community took that kind of approach. Imagine if all of us at all times of our day, through our week, through our year, would be willing to pause every time we see a need and say, God, is there something you would have me do here? You know, God's not going to have you respond to all of them. God's not going to have you respond to things that you're not able to relieve. He's only going to have you respond to the ones that he wants you to respond to. And I know sometimes we're afraid, God, but if I do that, I'm afraid you might send me to Africa or something. Maybe he will. Maybe it'd be the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life, right? That's our vision. That's our dream, to become a community full of people who are intentionally involved serving here locally, around the world. And I'll tell you what, if we could become people who recognize that our local mission is about being the best neighbor, the best coworker, the best boss, the best friend, the best student, whatever it is you do, and if we can be people who aren't afraid to roll up our sleeves and find ways to be a blessing in our community, whether it's serving at a homeless shelter, whether it's donating clothes to someone in need, I mean, this is a part of the global mission that God has called us to be a part of. And then on that global side, man, our vision is to become a community of people who are intentionally becoming aware of what's happening in this world and who aren't afraid to get involved. People who will fight every bit of tendency that we all have to not pay attention and to not be aware of what's going on in this world. I mean, imagine the impact we could make, guys. Imagine the impact we could make if every one of us were 100% committed to being people of action. See, here's what else I know. Not only does this mission change the lives of other people, but when you engage in this mission, it changes your life. It changes your life in a big way. Watch this.
I'm Dave Melvin. I'm 59 years old and married with wife Pam. I have one daughter named Brenna. She's 23, goes to school in Chicago. We've been at the Orchard here for a year ago, I believe it was Easter, and we've always been churchgoers. Just by a lark, we happened to see this church here, and we decided to try it, and we've been here ever since. This is more than just attending church. This is an experience for us, and we don't want to miss. Opened up the bulletin and saw that there was a mission trip, and the original mission trip was to Brazil. And I thought, wow, this would really be cool. I think I'd like to do that. And so thought about it, finally went to the meeting and was all ready to go. And then they canceled that trip and decided to go to El Salvador. Yeah, my major hesitation was the fact that I didn't feel comfortable that I was a good enough or strong enough or knowledgeable enough Christian to take this message to someone else. I felt a little bit hypocritical that I'm going somewhere and preaching the Bible when really I didn't have the background that I thought I should have had. So I'm on the airplane and I'm thinking, still, what's in front of me? What am I going to be asked to do? They took us to, it's called Hogar Infantil Shalom. It's an orphanage where they now have 77 orphan children. Actually, they picked up number 77 while we were there. The kids at the orphanage were just absolutely great. I mean, it was just, they were just so compassionate, so respectful to each other. You know, when we did morning devotions, it was just such an experience because there was scripture, there was praying, there was singing. It was just such a heartwarming experience that, you know, I just looked at these people and I said, you know, they have the true meaning of Christianity. You know, when they went to Sunday school or they went to church or just their interactions with each other, it was just authentic. It was genuine. You know, they would ask you, would you go to devotions with me? And it wasn't an obligation. It was, I want to go and I want to take you with me. There is a girl, she just turned 15 years old, and we bonded almost immediately. And it wasn't that she sought me out. She wasn't doing attention-seeking behaviors. I mean, she just basically was around our group. And it was just, she had a contagious smile. And, you know, I feel blessed that for some odd reason, we had a bond together. And I have now since been a sponsor for her. And when we had to say goodbye, it just broke my heart. I care about these kids because they touched my heart in such a way that I don't feel obligated, but I feel that I've got something now to offer. And when I went down there, I had my doubts. Oh, my life has changed immensely. I now have a goal in life. I'm taking Spanish. And, you know, I'm motivated because, you know, a lot of the kids are not doing well in school. And being a school teacher, you know, I might be able to go down and help them, but I can't help them if I don't know the language. I believe that our mission and growing in Christ, that I was the recipient more than anyone else that helped me in my journey, that I was willing to take that first step, and I was rewarded 100 times over for taking that first step. I just can't recommend enough that people take that chance, that people listen to their hearts and listen to what God is saying. It's everyone's responsibility to think globally. You know, we have to be concerned about the people who have not been introduced to God. We have to think about our missions and people that are in need from across the world. I think we just need to think more than just locally. I think we need to think more than just our church community. I think we need to reach out to those. I think people need to know across the world that we do care and that God cares. Well, we just feel very blessed that we came out here to the Orchard, and we're now not just churchgoers, we're people who have taken a step. Had I not come to this church, I'm not sure that I would have gone on this mission trip, or it would have been offered to me. I just, you know, thank the day that I came to the Orchard, and that this happened to me, this wonderful experience happened to me.
You know, last week, Amanda and I had the chance to sit down with David and his wife, Pam, and it was so cool. You know, we're sitting at lunch, and I was just blown away at what God's done in their lives. It's really impacted them in a big way. I mean, it changed the way they think. It's changed the way they perceive even just things in life that we all take advantage of so often. And we sat there, and I'll never forget, David looked across the table, and he said, Scott, he said, I feel like for the first time in my life, I really have a purpose for living. I mean, here's a guy, I think he said he's 59 years old, who's found purpose in life. I mean, that's amazing. And you know, here's the thing, and I think this is what if there's anything you can walk away with today, is that, you know, the way it always was growing up in church for me, it was always like outreach and missions were for people who felt called to think about it. And, you know, you'd have a missions thing once or twice a year to get excited about, or outreach was a program for those people who were really passionate about it. And here's the thing that we're learning, and I think the more you begin to discover what it means to follow Jesus, you begin to learn that thinking about this world and being involved and reaching out to our community is not something that's only for a handful of people. It's something that all of us as followers of Jesus are called to be a part of in our lives. And sure, some more to the degree than others. Sure, there's some who have that real passion, and maybe they'll go a little bit further than others. But I believe all of us are called to be global thinkers, to be people who are on a global mission around this world. You know, recently I want to share with you a couple things before we go. Recently we've partnered together with a handful of friends from around the world that we want to help out as much as we can. These are people who have felt led by God to go and begin working full-time in some places around the world and who've decided really to join God where he's already at work. Sometimes we always say things like, well, we're going to take God somewhere, like we own God or something, you know. But the fact is, God is everywhere. God is already at work. And so when we go somewhere, we're going where God is already working. Someone said one time, there are no God-forsaken places in the world. There's only church-forsaken places. And I really believe that. And so anyway, we've recently partnered with some really great people. I want to share these names with you. I just want to get these out to you. I want you just to know that the Orchard is reaching around the world right now, and many of you are involved in helping make this stuff happen. A young couple, some friends of mine, Damian and Nancy McCrink, are a young couple who are preparing to move to Mozambique, Africa, where they're going to be establishing an orphanage, group homes for children whose parents have died from AIDS. And we're going to be partnering with them, and they are actually, what's really cool about it is they are partnering with local churches there in Mozambique to raise up leaders who are going to become basically house parents or home parents to these children. Tell me that's not exciting, huh? Another couple by the name of David and Chastity Parks, who are located in a place called Azerbaijan. Say that 14 times real fast. Azerbaijan, they are using print media to reach out to this predominantly Muslim nation. Great couple. They've been with us a couple of times. A young lady by the name of Jenny Lichtenfeld. Am I saying this right? Lichtenfeld. I hope I'm saying that right. She's a bit closer to home here. She's over actually in Ohio at a college campus called Miami University. We're excited to be a part of her work there. She's reaching out to a campus full of spiritual seekers. And, you know, I tell you what, our college campuses are a huge, huge place that need to hear about God's work in this world and God's love. One more couple, you've probably heard me talk about them numerous times, good friends, Jim and Judy Larson, whose daughter Anna, is Anna here? Where's Anna? There's Anna. Anna's their daughter. Hi, Anna. Good to see you. Anna is just recently became a member of our church here, and I'll tell you what, this is a great family. Just have gotten to know them over the last few years. A couple years ago, they took a huge risk, moved their entire family to the inner city of Bangkok, Thailand, and they're reaching out to women who are involved in the sex trade. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing ministry. And let me tell you, there's not a lot of people doing this. And they're making a huge impact. Their ministry is growing faster than I think they probably would have ever imagined. I mean, they're seeing things happen today that they would have just never would imagine would happen so quickly. And so we're excited. I mean, these are ways for us to be involved around this world and to impact people's lives that we would never probably meet in a million years, you know? And so that's exciting. Does that excite you guys? It should. Amen. And I'll tell you, these are opportunities for us to get involved, to make a difference. And here's what you need to know. As a part of the orchard, every time you give, every time you're involved with what's happening here, you are helping to make a difference in these ministries, in these people around the world. We're going to talk more about it in the next few weeks. We're going to talk about how you can get plugged in and involved. Okay, now, we've talked about what's happening globally. Let me talk to you about an opportunity we have here locally, because we do have an immediate need here in Aurora. As we begin talking about this series big, and we've been talking about how we can take steps to become a global community, one of the things we did was we began to seek out opportunity here locally in the Aurora area, because there is huge need here. Aurora is a diverse community. If you think all of Aurora is like your neighborhood or where you live, it's not. It's very, very diverse. There are people in this community right now who are in great need, and even at times they're going to bed hungry. They're not feeding their children like they should be able to. Well, we went to the Aurora Food Pantry, the Aurora Food Shelf, whatever. We asked them, we said, what's the need like right now for you guys? And they said, you know, normally you'd think that a lot of people would be donating food this time of the year, but they're not. We're in great need of food. So we want to help them out. We want to pull together as a community and help them. In your bulletin, if you take that out, there's a sheet of paper. Can I just see yours for just a second, Eric? Thanks, man. What we're going to ask you to do is to bring at least one grocery bag full of these type of items. If you could, we want you to bring them out either this coming Wednesday night at our first Wednesday, or we want you to bring them out next Sunday, November 5th. And I'm going to tell you, this is a great opportunity. I know some of you might think, well, man, this doesn't seem like real. Like, I want to do something worldwide. Listen, it starts right here in our own backyard. How can we reach out to the world and not reach out to our own community, right? So this is an opportunity to do that. I would love to just blow the socks off of the food pantry and just take so much food there that they would just say, wow, no one's ever done this amount. This is gigantic. What do you guys say? Can we make this happen for them? And here's the thing you need to know, too. This all stays local, so you're impacting people right in our own community. They don't ship it off to three other states or anything like that. This goes to people right here. And so I'm excited about that. So you've heard me talk about a global opportunity. You heard me talk about a local opportunity. Now I want to talk to you about one more opportunity, and that is the opportunity you have in your life to impact people right close in your sphere of influence. Last weekend, you were given a little card that said, I am engaging in the mission. Did you bring that card back with you? If you did not bring it, would you just stand up right now? No, I'm kidding. If you didn't bring it, you should have been given one this morning. And what that card was for is I asked you to take that card and to write down the names of three people in your life who you know need to take some steps forward in their journey of following Jesus. And they need to experience what you've experienced in your life. And I'll tell you, we have a great opportunity coming up. In just a few weeks, we are going to be launching a new fall-winter series called MySpace. And have you ever heard of MySpace? All right, some of you are frowning at me right now, but don't worry about it. Calm down. Anyway, but this is going to be one of those series that will be relevant to everyone. I'm telling you, no matter where you're at in your life, whether you're a single person, married, maybe from a blended family, it's going to be the kind of series that anybody could walk in this place and they're going to walk away with something. And so here's what we're doing. One of the things we're getting ready to do, and we're going to be blanketing several neighborhoods. We're putting together 10,000 pieces of postcards, actually, that are going to be going out hitting homes in the area. And they're going to be showing up in people's mailboxes about a week before the launch of that series. And what we'd like to ask you to do is to consider using this new series as an opportunity to invite the people whose names you've written down on those cards. Now, one of the things we know is that some people who you know that are on that card, maybe they don't live in this area. That's okay, because I'll tell you, walking through these doors is not the only way that God can do something great in their lives. So it's not just about can they get in this church. But we would like to give you a real practical way to reach out and invite them to be a part of this mission, and that is by inviting them to a series that's going to be relevant. We're going to do some fun stuff, some fun video things. You know, the stuff you see here, we're going to do that, and I believe it's going to impact a lot of people. So what I want to do before we walk out of these doors today, I want to ask you to take that card. Would you just take hold of it in your hand right now and hold it up in the air? Let me see it. Y'all got your cards? And some of you forgot, it looks like. I'll be meeting with you in a separate room afterwards. I'm just kidding. But I'm going to ask you if you would. We're going to just have a word of prayer. Go ahead and just stand up with me if you would. I would like to just close today by praying for those names that are on that card. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to actually step out a little bit further than that. And instead of just praying and then going home, I'm going to ask you to, before you leave, to walk out of your chair up to this cross right here. And I want to ask you to take the name, and I want you to fold your piece of paper, and I want you just to lay it on the floor by the cross. And what I want this to be for us is a visual reminder over these next couple of weeks that these are people that God has put in our sphere of influence to reach. And we're committed to praying for these people. We're committed to praying for you as you begin to think about you know, just inviting them. And you know what? Hey, if they say no, that's okay. You're still their friend. This is not about trying to sell something to someone. You are their friend and you love them. So it's not about that. But anyway, we really appreciate doing it. Take your card if you would, and let's pray for these folks. God, we've been talking about some big stuff here these last few weeks. And God, I know because I'm reading the emails and I'm hearing people talk about their hearts that are being stirred. God, how they believe that you're calling them to do some great things. I believe you're calling all of us to take some big steps of faith in our life and to accept that dare. God, today we want to open our hearts to you and we want to ask you to make us the type of church that is not just concerned about what's happening in these walls. God, I pray you'd make us the kind of people who are passionately pursuing opportunity to reach out to others. And God, not so much through words as much as just through being like you and showing love and showing acceptance. And God, showing that there's a better way and that the way of Jesus is the greatest way to live. God, we thank you, God, for helping us to be aware in our lives. God, thank you for even allowing us in our hearts to become agitated, God, at times when we hear about the evil and the pain and the suffering in this world. But God, most of all, I thank you and I ask you to give us the power and the grace we need to step out and to take action. God, we join together. We pray for these names on the sheet of paper right now. God, I believe you're already at work in these lives. I pray that you'd help us to be courageous and just take that next step and just invite them. God, just build the relationships, God. And we pray ultimately for every name on that piece of paper. And God, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names that are on those papers collectively, I pray, Father, that the end result would be that every one of those people would invite you into their lives, that they would experience you in a way they've never experienced you before. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. We pray these things now together in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.